Well, let's seek God once again in prayer and ask for his presence with us tonight. Lord, we have just sung that we desire the presence of your Holy Spirit. And so we come now and ask that indeed your Holy Spirit would be here, taking the word of God, taking the things of Christ, and bringing them home with gracious power to every single soul in this auditorium. We know this is not impossible for you to accomplish. It is not too hard for you to do. So we come to you asking that you would manifest your gracious power in this way, this night, for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. The heading of this psalm, as you can see from your Bibles, reads, "For the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth a song." And then in verse 1 we read, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth do change, and though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of Jehovah, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Amen. This psalm, like many psalms, is a rich tapestry which displays the being, the character, the attributes, and the works of the one true and living God. And as with any tapestry that you might look at here on earth, you can step back and take in the panoramic view of the tapestry, or you can zoom in going close to that tapestry, just looking at one portion of it. Well, tonight, our view of this tapestry of Psalm 46 will be primarily the panoramic view, which means, of course, that there will be details that I will not at all address. So don't be disappointed if you don't have a specific matter addressed in this psalm. But I would like you to learn three things from this psalm. First of all, I would like you to see from the psalm our unchanging God. Secondly, our omnipresent God. And thirdly, our omnipotent God. So those are the three main headings. So first of all, our unchanging God from verses 1 through 3. And notice with me in those verses, first of all, the threefold declaration of the psalmist's confidence in God. You see that in verse 1. He declares, God is our refuge. And note that the writer states God is our refuge. He is the refuge of the individual believer, but he's also the refuge of every believer. And God is the Christian's shelter and protection, a place of hope. For this is what the word refuge actually means, a place of protection, a place of hope. But notice the psalmist continues, God is our strength. Individually and corporately, Christians are as weak as water, as unstable as water. Left to ourselves, we can accomplish nothing. But God is the strength of the Christian, and therefore the Christian can look to his God and his Savior and be secure in the strong hands of God and God's providence in times of trouble. But notice, thirdly, God is our very present help. God, at the proper time, always comes forth to help the Christian with wise, needed relief, with assistance, with support in times of distress, in times of sickness, in times of anxiety, in times of fear and trial. It matters not. At the proper time, God always comes with help for the believer. Our fears in this life are many. Our trials are numerous. But God, you see, never abandons the believer. He may seem at times to have abandoned you, the Christian. You may wrongly think that at times. It may seem that God is not with you, but that is not the truth. The Word of God is the truth. He will most speedily help the Christian in his time of trouble. It may not be according to your timetable, but it is according to God's timetable. And then when it happens, you realize indeed, he is our very present help. So that's the threefold declaration of the psalmist's confidence in God. But notice in verses 2 and 3, the justification for the psalmist's confidence in God. Why is God the Christian's refuge, strength, and very present help in trouble? It is because God is unchangeable. God does not change as the earth and the mountains and the seas change. You see, that's what the psalmist is doing. He's giving you this stark comparison between the mountains and the sea, which change, but God does not change. And in recent weeks, all of us have seen some of the horrific images of devastation which the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria have wrought. Mountains indeed have trembled and have been shaken. And within a matter of seconds, wide swaths of geography there in those lands were altered and transformed into landscapes which people could not recognize anymore. But you see, God never changes. He is immutable, and therefore every Christian can trust in his unchanging God, who is his protection, strength, and present help, even when everything all around him is changing and shifting or in upheavals, whether in nature or whether in your own life, whether physically for you personally, or emotionally, or spiritually. Trusting in your unchanging God and Savior, you do not need to fear. Do you fear? I know there are times when I'm fearful, but I have to preach to myself, and that's what you need to do, and say, no, if I'm trusting in my unchanging God, I do not need to fear. We all have fears. Fear of the unknown. Fear related to uncertainties. The what ifs of life. What if this is going to happen? What if that will happen in my job? What if this will happen in my life? But we need to put off our fears. We need to manage them by thinking theologically. We need to remember what this psalm and all of the scriptures teach us about God. And if you're a Christian, God is your God because he is unchanging. He determined from before the foundation of the world to save you from your sins. And once he made that determination to do so, he purposed in time to actually bring the gospel to you. He then gave to you his gracious spirit, gave you spiritual life, gave you grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will continue to help you as a believer because he is a faithful, unchanging God. And therefore, when you're confronted with fears all about you in this world, you need to preach to yourself and remind yourself, I do not need to fear because God is on his throne and God is unchanging. Spurgeon said, evil may ferment all around us. Wrath of man may boil up. Pride of men may foam like the sea. But the brave heart of holy confidence in God will not tremble. Brethren, that's what we need to do in this day and age. But notice, secondly, in verses 4 through 7, our omnipresent God. God is always present with his church. Notice the words of the psalmist there in verses 4 through 7. The words he used to describe God's believing people, the church. He calls it the city of God in verse 4. The tabernacles of the Most High, verse 4. So the church, the city of God, is refreshed, the psalmist writes, by a river which brings joy to the hearts of the inhabitants of that city. The joy of the Holy Spirit, who is likened unto a well of water springing up from within. The church, the tabernacles, are the holy place, blessed by the presence of the Most High God. And you see, that is the point that we are to grasp. God, the living God, the one true living God. There is only one God, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is in the midst of her church. God is present right now in this, his church. You may not feel God's presence. We do not always emotionally feel it. But we must believe the truth of the scriptures. God is in the midst of his church. He will not abandon his church. It doesn't matter what the pundits out in the media world are saying about Christianity, God will not abandon his church. In fact, his presence in his church ensures the stability and perseverance of the church, notwithstanding all of the assaults of the ungodly in our day. Politicians, CEOs, educators in colleges, universities, and schools, news media folks, social activists, many from these spheres of life are aggressively and viciously attacking biblical truths and biblical churches and individual Christians. But this psalm reminds us, it declares that God dwells in the midst of his church. He is present with his believing people in every circumstance of life. And therefore, we do not need to fear what is going on all around us. But notice also, not only is God present with his church, verses 4 to 7, but God is always present in the world at large. In verse 6, the psalmist wants us to understand that God is not only present at all times with his people, he is also always present among the nations of this world. The very term omnipresent means that God is present everywhere, whether we think of the church or whether we think of nations or whether we think of the lives of individuals. So when nations rage against the people of God, as is happening presently in our world, when kingdoms are moved against the Church of Jesus Christ, as is happening in many parts of the world today, we must remember again that God is present with his people. He has not vacated his throne. He is not an absentee landlord of his creation. He has not abandoned this world. He's not deserted the people of this earth. God is truly present in all of the affairs of this world, including the affairs of the nations. That doesn't mean that God approves of the sins of the nations or of individuals. God is not the author of sin. Though the nations rage and oppose the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, though kingdoms rebel against the God of heaven, because God is omnipresent, God sees and knows all things. And all God needs to do is speak one little word, and the earth will melt away. Verse 6. So the psalmist reiterates that Jehovah of hosts, our covenant-keeping God, who commands the armies of heaven, is with his people no matter what the nations may do. He is present at all times, in all places, with his people, because he is the God of Jacob, and he protects them, and he is a high tower for them. He is a refuge for them, and therefore, we, knowing that truth about God from Psalm 46, can and should rejoice and be glad, for our Savior is with us. So again, we live in dark times spiritually. A brother said to me just this past week, said, isn't it really interesting how during COVID we always heard, we're following the science, we're following the science, we're following the science, which was not, of course, true. But now that statement, this brother was saying, is forgotten when we talk about, well, there's not really just men and women. And the whole issue of gender, you see, we're not following the science with regards to gender. Just totally forgotten. They're dark days spiritually. And you may be tempted to say, as Elisha did on one occasion, where is Jehovah, the God of Elijah? You may be tempted to say, where is God in all of this? He is omnipresent. And you need to remember, and I need to remember, that even in the darkest days of the Christian church, and do remember, please, we are not the first believers that have faced grievous spiritually evil times, spiritually evil rulers. We're not the first believers who have ever done that. All you have to do is think in history of Ahab and Jezebel, or think of the land of Sodom, or think of the days of the judges in Israel, or think of Daniel in the Babylonian captivity, or think of the Herods who ruled in Judea. In all of these times, in all of these situations, God never abandoned his people or his church. And he will not do that today. He is in the midst of his people. He is omnipresent in this universe. Therefore, dear Christian, do not be anxious. Do not be fearful. Remember your omnipresent God. But notice, thirdly, in verses 8 through 11, our omnipotent God. He is our unchanging God. He is our omnipresent God. He's also our omnipotent God. Notice, first of all, in verses 8 and 9, God's almighty works displayed. The psalmist calls us to behold the works of Jehovah. And the idea in the language there is that you, as a believer, or you even as an unbeliever, you are to mentally perceive and contemplate with pleasure God's mighty works in the earth. And what is the first reality in this psalm that the psalmist urges us to contemplate with pleasure? It's kind of shocking, because he tells us to behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has wrought in the earth. That's not what most of us would think to point out. Look at the desolations that God has done. Well, the word refers to ruins which God has made in the earth, which when we behold them, they should cause us to step back, to put our hands over our mouths, to be astonished at God's mighty power, and to be filled even with some degree of alarm and fear of this God. Our astonishment and our alarm at the desolations which God has wrought in the earth. Again, think of the recent earthquakes in Turkey, Syria. They are intended, these views of God's desolations, to make us think about God's almighty power and be humbled. What do I have to be proud about? If I take before you my greatest human achievement, what is that compared to the almighty power of God? There's no comparison. And so we are to meditate upon this reality of God's omnipotence and be humbled before God. God's almighty power can also end man's fiercest destructive wars in a moment of time. All of the weaponry of man, and the psalmist names three which were deadly in his day, they can all be made useless by God's almighty power in a moment of time. And so the point is this: God is in absolute, sovereign, and almighty control of all the earth, of all the nations of the earth, and of all the affairs of men. So God's almighty works displayed, verses 8 and 9, but notice in verses 10 and 11, the believer's response to God's almighty works. I've already mentioned a little bit about that. But whenever a Christian beholds and contemplates God's destructive works in nature, or beholds the evil of the violent persecution of Christians in the world, or the ruthless warring of nations, or the unexpected stopping of such warfare, whenever a Christian beholds these realities and thinks about them, and perhaps questions and doubts and fears rise in his mind. What is going on, Lord? What are you doing? Things seem to be getting worse, Lord, not better. What should I do as a Christian? Maybe I should leave New Jersey and go to some distant part out in the Midwest or the far west in the mountains, be all isolated. When you are tempted to think in those wrong ways, it is at that moment that every true Christian should respond by hearing and obeying God's clarion call to his people in verses 10 and 11. Quiet your mind, heart, and body. You see the words there? Be still. Don't be all worked up in a tizzy in your heart. Don't be wringing your hands. Don't be fretting. Don't be running hither and yon like a busy ant. Quiet your mind, heart, and body. turn off your computer for 20 minutes. Mute your cell phone for 20 minutes. Get alone with God and the Word of God for 20 minutes. Quiet your mind and heart and body. Be still. Notice what else the psalmist says. Remember God's character. Know that I am God. God is telling you through this psalm that you are to know Him. You're to know that He is indeed the sovereign, almighty, omnipresent God. And notice what else the psalmist says, that God actually says. God says, I will be exalted. It doesn't say that God declared, I think I may be exalted. One day I will be exalted. No, it is certain I will be exalted. And then the psalmist concludes, Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Brethren, that is what you are to be thinking about in the days in which we live. We're to be still. We're to know God is God. We're to know that He will exalt Himself and that He is with His believing people and His church, and that He is your refuge in the midst of all turmoil. So our unchanging God, our omnipresent God, our omnipotent God, we see that, I believe, in this psalm. We're coming to the Lord's table tonight, as has already been said, and as you can see. And I would encourage every believer here tonight, as you take the bread and the cup, remind yourself of these truths concerning God. And focus perhaps on one of these truths. Let's talk about the unchanging love of God in Jesus Christ. Your love for Jesus Christ changes. Some days you feel like your love for Jesus Christ is hot and burning with zeal. But then there are days when you have to sadly confess your love for Jesus Christ is cold. But you see, Jesus Christ's love for you, dear Christian, never changes. It doesn't go up and down like your love for Him goes up and down. The Lord Jesus Christ's love for you as a believer doesn't change. You had God's love set upon you before you were ever conscious of that reality, because God purposed to save you before the world was created. So as you take the bread and the cup, you need to remember the Lord's love for me doesn't change. And when you sin, and when you have guilt, and when you do not feel very near to the Lord because of that sin, you need to confess your sin to God through Christ, ask for forgiveness and cleansing in the blood of Christ, and you need to then remember that God's love for you in Jesus Christ has not changed. Yes, you sinned. Yes, that's grievous. You can be, you are forgiven in Christ afresh. But God's love for you did not change, though you sinned. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, knowing that He would take God's wrath upon Him for your sin, dear believer. And He did that out of love for you. He went to the cross, and His love for His elect did not change through the experience of receiving the wrath of God upon Him. His love does not change. You need to remind yourself of that reality. And then you need to remind yourself of the fact that your Savior is omnipotent. He went to the cross, and as the God-man, he took all of the sins of all of his elect from all of the ages upon himself, and he received into himself the righteous wrath of God due to all those sins. And if you're a believer, to all of your sins. He could do that as the Almighty God-man. And he continues to be omnipotent. And you may feel that you don't have the power to conquer your temptations to sin. And in yourself, you do not have that power. But in union with Christ, you do have the power to resist and fight against all temptations to sin. But you need to remember that your Savior is almighty. He has no limit to his power. Though you do not have the power in yourself to conquer over such temptations, but you can in union with Christ, you need to remind yourself that my Savior is indeed omnipotent, almighty. He can conquer all of my sins and all of my temptations. And though at times he may not remove such besetting sins from my life as I would like, and he does it, he keeps them there in my life to keep me humbled and dependent. That's all very true, but you still need to remind yourself, my Savior is almighty. And he who began a good work in you will complete that good work. He has the power to do it, and he has promised to do it. He will do it. And when you come to the table and take the bread and the cup, you need to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his unchanging love and his omnipotence as well for you. But now I speak to children, teenagers, young adults, or even old adults. And you're not a Christian at this point in time. You know enough about Christianity, about perhaps the gospel, but you're still not repenting of your sins, trusting in Christ. You need to remember what you've heard this night, that God is unchanging, that he is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And he will judge you one day if you do not repent. But the good news of the gospel is, if you call out to Jesus Christ right now, no matter what your sins have been, no matter what your sins are, and you come to him and you ask for forgiveness for your sins, he will forgive you for your sins freely through the blood of Christ. He is an unchanging God, omnipresent God, omnipotent God. He has the power to save you from your sins. Don't take the bread and cup if you're not a Christian, not a member of a biblical church. But as the bread and cup are passed, you need to think about who Jesus Christ is, the Savior of sinners. So let's close in prayer. We thank you, our God, that you are in absolute control of the entire universe, of everything and everyone on this planet Earth. We thank you that you are omnipotent. We thank you that you're omnipresent. We thank you that you're present with us even now. And we thank you that you are an unchanging God. And we come to you and ask that you would forgive us for our sins of unbelief and give to every one of us grace to be believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and in all that has been revealed in the pages of the Bible. We cry to you, our God, and ask that you would receive glory and honor by granting your people persevering faith through the midst of trial and difficulty and darkness, And we ask that you'd be pleased to revive the work of your hands, even in our generation. And we ask that you would save sinners in our midst. So please answer our prayers that we bring to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.